And joining us now to break down all of the craziness of the NHL trade deadline is Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast and Sportsnet. Elliot, I'm hoping today is just a little bit lower stress than maybe the last time that we talked on NHL trade deadline day.
I would say, Carolyn, that is definitely true. It's been a lot quieter for me this week. I took kind of a working vacation. And I have to say, the Thursday before the NCAA tournament starts, when all the conference tournaments on, those were one of the days where I never got any work done. Since I grew up in Toronto, I was more of a Big East guy in its heyday, like the Patrick Ewing, Eric Coleman, like Pearl Washington. Good days. But I'm jealous of you guys sitting in your lounge there watching the Southeastern Conference basketball tournament. Brings me back to the days of watching Bob Knight and Eddie Sutton scream at each other.
Oh, weren't those the days? The good old days, one might say. Well, enjoy your working vacation, Elliot. Appreciate you for still joining us on your vacation. It's very, very well deserved. Well, the Predators round out the trade deadline, bringing in Anthony Beauvillier from Chicago, Jason Zucker from Arizona. The Predators trade Yakov Trenin to the Colorado Avalanche and have some swapping of AHL players there as well. What did you make of Barry Trotz's moves at the trade deadline and what that means for this team throughout the rest of the season?
Well, I think a couple of things. First of all, the biggest one was actually the one that didn't happen, and that is Carrier. Because if you look at what Trotz was doing, he didn't want to subtract. Yes, he traded Trenin, and I think it was simply that they didn't think they were going to be able to work out an extension with Trenin, so they moved on. But, you know, he made sure he brought in scoring. The Predators have talked all year long about getting in scoring, and, you know, he brought in Beauvillier, who's a talented guy who it hasn't unfortunately worked out for well lately, but he's a talented guy, and Trotz knows him. And to me, the big one was Zucker. He's a really talented guy. And there's no way he should have gone for a sixth-round pick. Like, that's just robbery. And the reason he went for a sixth-round pick is because the Coyotes were not willing to keep money. And so, I think that was a steal of a deal for Nashville, and I bet it went over huge in the room. But the one that really stood out for me was Carrier, because on the morning of the trade deadline, you check in with everyone who needs to be signed, and there's two questions you're asking, okay? Question one is anything going to get done today? If the answer is yes, then you just kind of move on and you wait for it to get done. But if the answer is no, then the question becomes, what next? And does that mean, do you keep the player or do you trade the player? And it was clear in the morning that the Predators weren't sure that they were going to be able to get a deal done with Carrier. But they knew if they subtracted him, then that was really going to hurt them. And so I think the message that Trotz sent was, okay, we may not get this done, but if we subtract this player, we're going to be in trouble because we cannot replace them. It would be very hard to find a guy who can do what Carrier does for you guys. So I thought that was really big that you kept him. I think it probably went over big in the room, and now you've got to work and see if you can get an extension done.
And that's the really difficult balance that Barry Trotz is now tasked with balancing, is the now versus the future. And Barry Trotz has said that, look, I feel like I owe this team the opportunity to stay together and to make a push in the playoffs and to compete in the playoffs. And that is that holding on to Carrier move. That's, that's re-signing the players that they did, whether it be a Tommy Novak or a Dante Fabbro or Michael McCarron, so on and so forth. But also, looking ahead to the future, the moves that didn't get done, Barry Trotz is now going to be talking a lot of contracts over the summer, whether that's extending UC Soros. So now kind of looking past the playoffs and looking ahead to the summer and some of the contracts that did not get done at the trade deadline, what's next for Barry Trotz?
Well, I think you continue to work at things, but, Carolyn, I think at this time of year, you don't want to bother players unless you absolutely have to. I know there's a lot of the really, I don't know if I want to call them old school thinkers, but for one thing, I remember Ken Holland, who's the GM at Edmonton, he's been around a long time. I would text him late in the year saying, you know, anything going on with this extension, anything going on with this extension. And he would kind of jokingly say to me, I don't know how many times I have to tell you, I don't believe in doing extensions right before the playoffs. And I think there are people who feel that way. Now, I think what can happen is Trotz can reach out to the agents and he can talk to them. But generally at this time of year, and it's not always the case, like, that's the thing. We're still getting an idea of what Trotz believes as a GM, what his philosophies are. But, you know, generally a lot of teams say, look, we're going for the playoffs. This is the most important time of the year. Don't bug the players. Don't get their minds on anything they don't have to worry on. So I think what he'll do is he'll continue to talk to the agents, kind of feel them out. See, like, basically right now, the agent for Carrier and Trotz, they know where each other stands. Like, at the deadline, you get serious. So they kind of know where everybody is, and they kind of figure out what a deal could look like. And also, too, the way he plays between now and then, and the other guys as well, Carolyn, it determines, you know, whether that their asks or their gets change. And I think right now your primary focus is the march to the playoffs and getting there, and everything else is secondary.
We're talking to Elliot Friedman. You can check him out on his 32 Thought podcast. Now, Elliot, looking at what the Nashville Predators were able to do last night versus the Winnipeg Jets, where do you stack this team up? Because they've beaten Winnipeg. They've beaten the Avalanche. You know, you look at, you know, whether it's Minnesota or Columbus, they've sort of matched up well with these teams and have come out on the winning side of it. But where do they sort of match up with these teams moving forward? Because this was the question that we asked Coach Brunette when we had him on earlier. Like, was that a measuring stick type of game for your team to go to Winnipeg and to beat that team?
Well, it is. And it doesn't matter that Mark Scheifele's not playing. Like, that's a big loss for the Jets, but you still got to win the game in a very hostile environment. And, you know, I think this, Derek. I think the Predators, the biggest thing the Predators have changed this year is the way, like, people look at them. And they were kind of meh at the beginning of the year. What did everybody think about them? Meh. They're kind of, who knows what they are. They might be good. They probably won't be good. You know, a lot of people thought, you remember in like that first month of the season, there was one day they were 31st in the league and everybody kind of thought, okay, that's Nashville this year. We don't have to worry about them. Well, you know, now we're seeing they're in the playoff spot. The odds are really good. They're going to make the playoffs. They've played, you know, really hard this year. I don't want to belabor the point because I don't think that story needs to be revisited a ton, but I don't think it's insignificant that after the U2 thing happened, the Predators didn't fold. Like, I've seen teams fold after those kinds of things. And what this says to me is that's a team of real pros. But, you know, the thing, Derek, I really noticed last night was watching Yossi. You know, this the Norris this year, best defenseman, it's going to be hard. Like, there's, you know, Makar is incredible. Quinn Hughes is incredible. But, like, watching Yossi last night, you know, Andrew Burnett asked him to change the way he plays a little bit, less carrying the puck, move the puck. And that pass he made last night on that first goal, like, to me, that is just a reminder of how good he is and how he's probably even better than he gets credit for. Because he's got the skill set to make that pass, and he's changed the way he's played for years, the way he won the Norris Trophy to do what his coach wants and is asking. And, you know, I just think that the Predators this year have created respect. They're much better than we thought they were. And I'll tell you, Derek, that first round of the playoffs in the West, it is going to be brutal. Like, it's a good thing I don't gamble a lot of money, because I lose a lot of money gambling on that one.
Elliot Friedman is with us. Elliot, along those lines, you know, Nashville's not there yet. They've got to keep getting some points here. But you figure if they go 500 or so, their odds are really, really good of getting in there to play somebody. You know, Colorado got a huge win last night in come from behind fashion.
Yeah.
As you look at these teams now that they've got their new pieces,
yeah,
in the Central specifically, who do you think will come out on top in that division? Because it's going to be a heck of a race for those three teams.
Honestly, I think the deepest team is Dallas. I do. I think top to bottom, 1 to 23, I think they're the deepest team. I know that's not going to make me a really popular guy on Broadway, but, you know, the one thing about Dallas is Ottinger hasn't had a great season, so I think he has to get back to his level. But I think top to bottom, they're the deepest team. But, you know, like Colorado, I like some of the moves they made. They got meaner. I mean, you guys know Trenin, that Duhaime is a tough player too, a hard player. They're deeper on defense a bit with Walker. They gave up Byram. Like, Byram, for me, I understood why they did it, but when they won the Stanley Cup a couple of years ago, he was incredible for them. Middlestat, like, I think they're a deeper team than they were 2 weeks ago. Winnipeg, I mean, they've got the best goalie, and when you've got the best goalie, you're a threat, a big threat. But to me, I would give a slight edge to Dallas, but honestly, Willie, it's the margins are very thin, and in the playoffs, like these series, they're going to be brutal. Like, they are just going to be brutal, brutal series.
And with all of these teams,
what time did you get home
about
this morning, Willie?
Well, we gained 2 hours going from Winnipeg to Seattle, so it was 2:30 Central Time when we got into the hotel, but it was only 12:30. Pacific time. So it was a weird, we're still in a weird zone here, trying to adjust.
That's dedication,
to what's going on.
Willie. If I couldn't go to the lounge today, I wouldn't show up for work. I got to tell you. Like, those guys get, Carolyn and Derek get to be in the lounge, and you're sitting in what, your hotel room? That's a tough draw,
yeah,
man.
That is a little bit of a tough draw. A little bit of a tough draw. But it's a nice day. It's not raining in Seattle. It's a beautiful day. So that's a good thing. And they don't play until Saturday. So a little time to get adjusted here. I was going to ask you, too, about Andrew Burnett and the job he's doing. He's now 89-43-10 as a head coach. We know the story, and he's admitted it. You know, he was hurt that he did not get retained by the Panthers after what he did that season for them. And then you got this whole saga in New Jersey. They've now moved on from Lindy Ruff, and I know the question's being asked there. Did they let Burnett get away when maybe that was the guy they really needed to think about keeping? But Barry Trotz looks very smart for hiring this guy. But when you just got done talking about the Predators, they're more than the sum of the parts, right? When you look at the names on the page of the lineup, they're playing way above that level. I have to think Andrew Burnett has a lot to do with that.
Yeah, I do. I think Burnett's a really smart guy. Like, when he played, he was a really popular teammate. When he went into coaching, he was a pretty popular guy. He got thrust into a really tough situation in Florida, and I know he was hurt, and I think anybody would. Like, I think sometimes, William, and you know, Derek, you really understand this, and I've learned it over the years in covering sports. Like, in sports, you have to have a big ego simply because you are on field competing against, like, a lot of alphas. And it doesn't mean you have to be a jerk or anything like that, but you really have to believe in yourself, and you have to believe you are capable of things in stressful situations. And Andrew Burnett, even though he's a really nice guy, he's like that. He believes in himself. He survived as a pro for a long time, and that doesn't come out doesn't happen without an immense belief in what you're capable of and what you can do. And look, I think he's proving that here. I really like the Predators. I you know, because I come on here, I watch them quite a bit, and I like the way they play. I think they're a really interesting team. And, you know, like I said, I think they've handled themselves really professionally this season. And I think it says a lot about the group they've put together and the group that's running.
I'm curious. You get into all of the stuff with all of these moves and the teams that have really loaded up at the deadline, Vegas, Colorado, Dallas, the teams in the East, they have all jumped in there and they're being praised for their aggressiveness. And I admire that for sure. But as you mentioned, just because a lot of them are going to play each other in the first round, multiple teams are going to say, we did all this, and then we lost in the first round. And I keep looking at some of these teams that are just depleting all of their assets for the future. Not many prospects, not many draft picks going forward. And I wonder what the feeling will be with some of these teams in another 3 or 4 years on that. Will they get the same praise that they're getting right now for their aggressiveness? Because it's not going to work for everybody.
Well, probably not, because that's the way the world works. We're the ultimate second guessers, right, Willie? But
right.
No, I have a rule. I have a rule. I always make a note of what I say in the moment, and I don't vary from that. I kind of look back and I say, okay, what did I say then? Well, maybe things turned out differently, but I can't change my opinion about how you felt at the time. You know, the thing is, like, for me, the perfect example is Carolina. Carolina had an organizational philosophy. No rentals, no rentals, no rentals. Well, we don't pay for rentals. If it's a mid-round pick, we'll give you, we'll do that. But we're not trading a first-round pick or a good prospect for rentals. Well, you know, last year, they go to the Eastern Conference Final against Florida, and they can't score. They absolutely cannot score. They had, 3 goals in 4 games? And they got knocked out, and they had to watch the Panthers, who earned it but were decimated by injury, lose to Vegas. And I guarantee to you the Hurricanes are sitting there saying, we could have given this a better shot. We could have given this a better shot. And so now, this year, they say, you know what? We're going to go for it. We're going to change our philosophy a bit, and we're going to pay a bit more of a price because we've got a good team, and we saw what happened last year. And I really believe, Willie, that's the only way that you can be judged is, do you think you have a good team? Yes, then you go for it. Because I'll tell you this, yeah, you might lose, and Brian Burke always sends me a text. He says, last time I checked, they're still only handing out one Stanley Cup. I know. But look, the Tampa Bay Lightning 1-2. They're decimated now. They're starting to slow down a bit. They don't have the assets to make deals. But I don't care. Like, if I was a member of the Lightning or a Lightning fan, I would say it was all worth it. All worth it, because we won 2 cups. And that's the way I always look at it.
I noticed you wrote this in your blog today, and you guys are kicking around ideas. And look, everybody's favorite team, Vegas, this is going to be talked about with the LTIR maneuvering. They're not the only team that does it. It's within the rules. We all understand that.
Yeah.
I think the question you're bringing up is, will the rules change? Because this is not why they put the rule in, so that you could end up doing what these teams have done successfully and end up with everybody back with sort of a bolstered roster with extra payroll in the playoffs. Do you think in the next CBA they will change that in some degree?
I think, you know what, I think, Willie, I think people get upset in the moment. I'm really curious to see if when it really matters, when it really matters, does anyone really want to change it? Because there's always a lot of noise. Now, I'll say this. You know, someone saw me write that, and they said to me this morning, they said, I guarantee I know what will get it changed. And I said, oh, yeah, what's that? And he goes, if Mark Stone shows up in game one, like, it'll be over. and he has a legit injury. Like, that spleen injury, that's a legit injury. You know, like I said, I've had a couple people throw suggestions at me. Things like, if you can't play game 82, then you've got to miss a round of the playoffs. Or in the playoffs, your dressed roster has to be under the cap. Your non-dressed roster, like, it doesn't matter who's not playing, but just your dressed roster is under the cap. So there's ideas there. But that's the one thing I really don't know. Like, there's always outrage and there's always anger. But, like, anyone who could do this would and should. So I always wonder, Willie, is it just noise or is it real that they're going to change it?
Those Vegas Golden Knights just always almost breaking the rules, pushing up against that line, but not quite crossing it. Elliot, really appreciate you for joining us. Enjoy your working vacation, and we'll chat with you soon.
Does Dale Brown still coach LSU, or am I way off on this?
Off on that. The court is
Dale
named
Brown.
After Dale
Elliot,
Brown.
I played against Dale Brown at Memorial Gym in Nashville with Shaquille O'Neal. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Vanderbilt versus LSU. Game tied in the final seconds. They call a foul on Shaq, which was probably not a foul. A little home cooking, maybe. And so yeah. Vanderbilt shoots a couple free throws. Dale Brown goes crazy, runs out to half court, and gets tossed from the game. And it's still one of the my favorite moments as a college basketball player. That was something. So he was a wacko, but he was really good.
Was that like the Will Perdue, like Barry Gohee days, or is that after that?
I was just after that. I was just after Will Perdue and Barry Gohee.
And that's why they went and got Willie, because they lost Will Perdue.
Exactly.
So we got to get another player.
We need someone to compete with Shaquille O'Neal.
Exactly. We need somebody to guard
Willie
Shaquille
Donick
O'Neal.
Willie Donick is the guy.
The hack of Shaq D, I was there. I could foul Shaq with the best of them. I had fouls to give.
That is a great story. That's awesome. That's a great story.
All right, Elliot, we appreciate you, and we will enjoy the BetMGM Lounge on your behalf.
Take care, guys.